Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Is it the afternoon?
I don't know. It's 10:30 p.m. here. I don't know.
I was going to say the time zone shifted backwards on us.
But
you don't sleep at night, Ed, so this is probably afternoon for you, huh?
That's this true. Actually, considering my normal schedule,
yes.
This, I'm gonna get personal. I'm really excited. I got good grades for the most part this semester.
Nice.
Congrats.
Congratulations.
Except for one class, but let's not talk about that one. But the rest were fine.
Yes, you know, that's exciting. Jennifer's been doing a lot of sculpting.
Sculpting and painting. I'm going to drink that 5-hour energy drink tonight and stay up all night long.
All night long?
Oh, do we?
Oh, at least 5 hours after.
I can call you at 7 a.m. my time to make sure you're still awake, because I will be.
Can you consider that?
Jen, we're going to talk after the show, because I do not have your number, and I feel let down. I've known you for years.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we should be more connected. I apologize for that. I just, you know what, I leave all this stuff to Josh, and I just assume, you know, information will be disseminated.
What if there's some conspiracy theory related to Glee that I don't want to talk to Josh about?
You think I do?
Well, I mean, if it's complete conspiracy theory with no actual...
Ah, okay. Good to know. We will connect. I'll give you my information.
I'm just glad Ed can text now, because for a while I would get... Only person who would just call the chat.
That's awesome, though.
It's been
years.
You know
what? People should talk more.
People should talk more, but there's been a lot, like... Lots of people have been getting the $25 a month plan, unlimited data, unlimited text, 300 minutes.
Wow.
And you know, that's very practical.
This episode brought to you by whatever cell phone company that Ed is just talking about.
That Verizon and AT&T both have this offer. So,
wow.
Feel free to sponsor us.
Well, we are back to discuss...
Glee. Yes. Glee Kids, yay!
Yes, we are back to discuss the latest episode of Glee entitled Prom Queen. And that is the quintessential storyline.
Are you going to ask us our temperature on the show?
I'm just about to. Okay. But you
jumping the gun.
Ed.
Did you drink 5-hour energy?
Yeah, right.
No, I'm just drinking unsweet tea.
Aww.
So, Ed, you know, this was an interesting episode. It's definitely one we've been building up to. It's kind of odd that we've got nationals coming up in two episodes. This was like the climax before the climax.
Like, it just... Oh, because I was watching this with my mom, which I was home for this for a couple days, and that's why we didn't record yesterday. And she hasn't really watched it since Christmas, and she was watching it with me, and she's like, "Is this the finale?" I'm like, "No, but I understand why you think that."
Absolutely.
So it was very like exciting and big, and it just angers me that much more. How much Night of Neglect hurt them. But thankfully, this week around, they didn't have to compete with The Voice, mm-hmm. and that probably benefited their viewing audience. So
cool. And so, okay, so of the three of us, you actually knew who the original prom king and queen was supposed to be.
Correct.
And so...
Which turned out to be who the prom king and queen was.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it didn't change.
But were you surprised? How did you feel about how it all turned out?
When it happened, I tweeted, that just happened, # Glee.
Oh, you still there?
Where did you go, Ed?
I think we lost Ed. Ed just blinked out. Oh, and he's gone. Is he back?
Come back.
I'll see if we can get Ed back. Ed,
I think
hear.
I just heard him.
Well, Fizzle, while we're waiting for Ed, do you want to talk? How did you feel about this?
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
He's back.
You're back.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
You're kind of cutting out a little bit.
Yeah, let's go ahead and hang up on you, and we'll bring you back in a sec. All right. We'll reboot the phone call. Here we go.
Really, really enjoyed this one. Again, it's kind of been, you know, it's another week where you get more interaction with all the kids. Everybody got, you know, a little bit of screen time, and you felt like they were actually all a part of this. And I loved it. I thought it was great.
It was definitely, it was another good unifying episode. Another episode where we did get to see a little bit of everyone. Everyone was kind of up in each other's business again, which is, kind of like where we like them.
And Sue was just the right amount of crazy.
Yes, we did get some crazy Sue.
We got really crazy Sue.
And we got some great one-liners. I think my biggest struggle with it was, Ed, are you back?
I am back, to my knowledge.
Oh, that's much better.
to Ed's knowledge, he's back. yeah, you know, my biggest struggle was kind of with some of the... well, here, let's let listener Michelle from Canada tell us.
Canada!
Hi, Josh, Jen, and Ed. This is Michelle calling from Vancouver, BC, Canada. I just watched the prom night, and there was a lot that I found unbelievable in this episode, but the two things that really stood out to me was, number one, is at my school, people had voted for a guy as the queen, even as a joke, the principal would have never read it out. He would have totally bypassed that, and he would have gone to the straight girl, or to the girl straight, and announced her as a winner. There's no way they would have announced the guy as the winner.
Never,
and second of
never
all,
had
even
a chance.
If they did, there's no way that they would force a supposedly straight guy and a gay guy to dance in the Queen and King dance. I don't know. There was a lot about this episode that I didn't like. So I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say, and have a great day. Thanks. Bye.
I think that was my struggle too. As much as I liked a lot of the episode, a lot of the aspects of the episode, and kind of what the end, all of the episode was, it was the stuff like that really bugged me. It was It was the details that I kind of got bogged down in. They seemed to only suit or only to create the situations that they wanted rather than existing in any kind of real world scenario. Mind you, Glee's not a real world scenario, but it still was a little bit too much for me.
Well, okay, considering this is what we heard was going to happen. Okay,
you heard. And we did not hear.
Okay, what we heard. What let's just assume that you heard. Okay, assuming this is what we heard. I thought when I heard it was going to be this way and thinking that they weren't actually going to change it because, you know, Brad Falchuk, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not surprised by much anymore. And thinking about it from that perspective, I really thought it was going to be much more sappier than it ended up being. I thought it came across that it's actually good for a lot of characters. I feel like it was a good moment for Kurofsky. It was a good moment for Kurt. It was a good moment for Blaine. It was arguably a good moment for Brittany and Santana, and it really pushed the characters in a direction that I didn't expect that scenario to do. So I appreciate it more than I thought it was going to.
See, and I agree with you up to the point of that I do think it was the right decision to motivate all of the emotions and the character actions that it ended up motivating. I really liked that aspect of it, but it felt totally unmotivated. The occurrence itself felt totally unmotivated within the reality of the show. Like, if, you know, maybe Kurofsky like saved someone's life the day before voting, then when Kurofsky wins, it's like, oh, okay. Because even as we're going up to it, Lauren and Puck were ahead of Santana and Kurofsky by a half point. And so so it didn't even follow that he didn't even seem to be in the running. And then here he is winning, and not only winning, but winning without his friend. The other thing that got me is supposedly the explanation we are given is that Kurofsky won because it was the safety vote, right? Kurofsky won because he was defending Kurt, and then Kurt won because they were making fun of Kurt. Like, it totally didn't follow to me that, you know, both of those explanations were supposed to sit side by side. And so in the end, watching them up there, I felt, oh no, this is just the writers wanting to create this moment and not really giving a crap how we got there.
Okay, so for me, I thought that they were both put in there as supposedly a joke. I didn't think that Kurofsky's votes were, you know, actually legitimate, and that, you know, he just happened to be on the ballot. And I just totally pictured this being some sort of master plan of, you know, all the guys on the football team.
People.
Yeah, you know, the bullies that, you know, he used to be a part of, but now he isn't. So to me, I thought that not only was this, you know, supposed to be something kind of, you know, a cruel joke to Kurt, but also to Kurofsky. Mm. And it's like, okay, yes, I don't know that that would have happened. I mean, what's the principal going to do? You know, I don't really, I don't really know if it would have been his place to, you know, say another name. But, you know, they have been having these discussions with the parents and everything, and they're talking about equality. And, I mean, I think it took a little bit of a big leap of faith for Figgins to actually call out Kurt's name because he didn't know what would happen.
Mm.
But, you know, then, you know, Kurt had his moment, but then came back and basically said, you know, screw you, everybody. I'm going to be the better person here, and oh, well.
Well, yeah, I mean... I did like when Kurt came back. I mean, no question yeah. about that. It was an interesting, you know, it was an interesting scene, and it definitely continues to be kind of, I don't know, it just feels like another one of these episodes that only exists in Glee Land.
Well, of course it does. I mean, what, do you want to see everything that really happens in high school?
No.
That would be terrifying.
No.
I would be terrified. So here you get a little bit of an unrealistic...
No, that's why I don't go on Facebook.
It's a little bit of an unrealistic scenario. But, you know, they're showing people making the best of the situation and being strong. And I think that's wonderful.
Well, we opened up with Blaine in this episode. I didn't know where to go. I'm just segging.
Okay.
That was not my best seg.
Said okay.
So we opened up with Blaine in this episode performing the Black Kids song, I'm Not Gonna Teach Your Boyfriend How to Dance With You. And Ed, you had expressed some surprise that they actually did a Black Kids song on
Blaine. Well, I mean, it's not like the Black Kids are so controversial or anything. It's just, it isn't a very current, like, it's only a couple years old, but it's not like a current up and coming song like Hey Monday Candles. And it wasn't a big hit, really. It really didn't affect the top 40 market, period. But I did know it because I listened to a lot of music, and I do, and I liked it, and I was really happy to hear it. I was like, you know, they deserve some recognition, so good for them.
I thought it was a fun song for prom, and it kind yeah. of, I loved the way they, you know, were cutting back and forth to the action in the audience and then to the stage. It kind of felt like watching an 80s movie.
I have to throw a shout out to Irish Mike, who writes Segway Fail. it was cool. I dug that. I dug the song. I wrote on the Gleeful blog a post about all the music in this episode that you can check out at gleefulpodcast.com. But I'm a sucker for dance punk, and so that was kind of fun to hear some dance punk on the show. Did I?
Yes, you stomped my toe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's like some songs that I would love to hear that are like obscure. Green Limousine, History Repeating, I don't know. I can go on.
In this particular episode or just in general?
In general. But you know, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed every single song. By the, like, even the cheesy Dancing Queen, I was like, you know, it's pretty okay.
Which is so fitting. Like, Dancing Queen has been played at every dance and wedding, and you know, since it came out in like 78, so it's you have to play Dancing Queen. It would be wrong not to.
Every school dance that I ever had, and this is going to.
The only problem is next year when they do the senior prom episode, it'll be repetitive to play it again. But they're going to have to play it again because that's just what you do.
I am under a theory because. Okay, no, this isn't spoilers.
Trying to figure out how that would work under a theory. What do you mean?
Jenna Uskowitz has confirmed that if there is a season 4 of Glee, that all the characters that you know and love will still be in season 4. That's something that has been said, which is exciting.
Well, they've been saying that for a long time, but and that's also 3 years away, and you know, one of them gets a DUI and they're gone. So
no, I know, right? But I have a theory that season 3 is going to be. The timeline for season 3 is going to be from August until December of their senior year.
Oh, a listener actually suggested that we're going to get a summer season, on like 90210 and Saved by the Bell.
like make that would make sense, like a June till December. That way,
yeah.
and then they can make the next one, because that's the only feasible way of doing that, unless you want to pull One Tree Hill and they all just graduated college and they're back again.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Yeah, that's what they did on the original Beverly Hills 90210, not the new 90210. But on the original, they did I don't think it was just one season because they wanted to keep him in high school for one more year. So they did a whole season that took place during the summer, and they all worked at like a beach club. And then Saved by the Bell totally ripped it off.
I was going to say, that's Saved by the Bell.
With Leah Remini, yeah. She came in, and that was, I mean, Leah Remini on Saved by the Bell is just hilarious. Anyway, well, that was a big move from Jennifer there.
Yeah, that is my wrap it up.
Well, a lot of people talking about Kurt, and a lot of people, the comment coming back between Kurt and Blaine, why didn't we see Kurt and Blaine kiss in this episode?
Was it necessary? No.
I don't think it is, but we seriously got 50 emails. Well, not 50. We got probably 5 emails and tweets about why didn't Kurt and Blaine kiss.
But it wasn't necessary. Like, Blaine was so there for Kurt, and Kurt was did it so well that a kiss would have been over the top and unnecessary. It isn't like they're not willing to push boundaries. It's already happened. So...
Yeah. The fact that, you know, Blaine was right there to be, you know, to dance with him and be supportive of him. I think that was great. But
I was like, why can't I find a boyfriend like that, aww, right?
<He's> so cute. But the one thing, and I know we got Blaine's backstory on what happened to him when he went to a dance or was going to a dance with another guy. But I didn't understand what the big deal was about Kurt's outfit for the prom.
Yeah,
it
that
really was,
odd. Was
nothing more outrageous
than ever.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
But I understand. I understand. Well, he doesn't usually wear skirts.
It's a kilt.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's a kilt. We had friends who wore that to my senior prom. Like we were all we were all going to wear kilts.
Quilts.
Yeah.
I
was going to
wear quilts. I knitted this quilt. I'm so badass.
I don't understand why, you know, I understand his dad being a little protective, but it's not anything more outrageous than what he wears to school every day.
Yes.
And I just didn't understand, you know, now Blaine, who's always been so supportive, you know, day to day, now why at this one particular event?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I do go back. I understand. He had a traumatic experience. But
That outfit was pretty G-rated compared to some of the other things that Kurt has worn. And I thought that was pretty goofy. Well, someone just said, I have several friends who wear kilts to work. Yes, but don't you work in the theater?
Your old buddy from high school wears kilts to work, but he works the door at an Irish pub.
Exactly. It's true. I've always wanted to get a utility
kilt. He's got calves like, you know, my thighs. He's just got these crazy calves.
But let's go ahead and listen to a song because it's been a little while since we've done that. And this will kick off our next topic of conversation. Here is a bit of Rolling in the Deep by Leah Michelle and Jonathan Groff. Reaching
a fever, I love when he comes in. Bringing
me out. Dude, too, I get goosebumps.
Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your shit bare. See how
I always think he says,
lay
every of you. Don't underestimate the things that I will do. There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. The scars of your love remind me of us. They keep me thinking that we almost had it all. The scars of your love, they leave me breathless. I can't help feeling we could have had it all. Rolling in the deep. You had my heart inside your hand. And you play it to the beat.
So I mean, if you haven't heard this song, like, where the heck have you been?
Well, not listening to the radio, I'm surprised, Josh.
Well, I got the record, like, on pre-order. The thing about this song, that this one actually didn't work for me that well. I love that they did it as a duet. I thought that was really cool because it is, you know, about a relationship, and it's, they didn't even have to change anything. It made a perfect duet, and it totally fit them. I was down with that. And I liked the a cappella opening was awesome. Like, it was so captivating. But then once it got to the...
as much as I would like to give the Glee people credit for it, this is actually almost a complete knockoff of the John Legend cover in terms of how it was done.
Ah, there you go. Well, so my problem was once it got to the hook, it didn't have that big... the power that the original has in the chorus. You know, once you get to the chorus on this song, it's like the song just kind of really Irish Mike. As you're kind of building up to the chorus on this one, it's like once you get to the hook on this song, there's a big emotional moment. But when it was just the AV Club like painting and doing kind of the Greek chorus in the background, it didn't have that big explosion that I used to.
I felt it. I listened to this before, and I wasn't feeling it. But when I saw it happening, I was like, oh my.
Yeah, I loved it. For me, it had everything. I was really impressed by the painters in the background.
Yeah,
their ability
AV
to
Club,
sing.
Come on!
I know. Why aren't they in the Glee Club? I thought it was really great, and I loved the intensity, you know, and the two characters singing to each other. I loved it.
Well, there you go.
I didn't have a problem at all with it. I'm sorry.
It was definitely a big moment in the show, and it brought us back to Jesse. It was the perfect re-entry of Jesse, who apparently got kicked out of school for not going to class.
He flunked out, and how was he supposed to know he was supposed to go to classes because he was a theater major?
Yeah, I thought they'd do it. They didn't
come out. I should see if our theater major friends felt the same way.
You mean I have to go learn scientific? That was funny.
I thought they were going to pay somebody.
Yeah, pay somebody to do all my scientific. So we got the return of Jesse. Jennifer, how did you like having Jesse back in the mix?
I really liked having him back. I still don't know if I trust him. And I loved their first discussion together and how self-aware the whole thing was when Rachel says, "One minute you're telling me you love me, next minute you're inexplicably hurling eggs at my head."
It's so true.
That's what we were saying.
Yes, he was majoring in show choir, not theater. That's what it was.
Show choir. There you go.
Yes, it was funny that they had that self-aware moment. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I still don't know. I mean, is he that self-absorbed and oblivious?
Yes.
But he's still charming?
Yes.
Oh, Ed, you'd fall for him too.
I want him to slap me and spit in my face, and don't worry, I will like it.
What? Anyway. Anyway, Ed, how did you feel about having Jesse back in the mix?
I love that he came back. What's weird about some of these cameos with April Rhodes and Jesse St. James, they haven't been on this entire season, but it feels like they never left in some weird way. Like they were such a presence when they were on the show that like them returning, it felt so natural. So I'm glad he's on next week too.
Yeah, it didn't seem so out of the blue, and it definitely, you know, it's nice to, you know, see Rachel have the attention from somebody that can actually rightfully give it to her. Unlike Finn, who's playing a dangerous balancing game right now.
The thing I love about Jesse as a character.
Why does everyone say what I said was disturbing? Uh-oh, what did I do?
What you said about
having
him slapping.
We all want the bad guy to, you know, abuse us, and we'll still love him in the morning.
Wow.
I'm just gonna stand there.
I'm not saying it's healthy or right, but, you know.
Well, what I love about Jesse as a character is that he is, he's so unapologetic for everything. Like, Jesse cannot see past the nose on his face.
It's a
lovely nose. And I think that's what's so funny about kind of having him in the mix is because he makes Rachel seem totally well-adjusted in society. And he kind of, when he's next to her, you look at Rachel and go, oh, she's not so crazy after all. She could be this guy.
Yeah, I mean, other than a little bit of, you know, the delusions of grandeur. I mean, although she probably will do quite well in life. But this is the first episode in a long time where she hasn't been manipulating a situation to benefit her. It's like, you know, the whole conversation with Finn, she never once, you know, used his insecurities and uncertainties about the prom and the relationship with Quinn against him. She never like pounced on that. She's just like, listen, I need to do this. It kills me, but I need to do this for me, and we'll all be better for it. And I was really kind of impressed.
I questioned, I don't know, it's as much as I liked it in this episode, in the context of the season, I kept wondering, I kept looking at Rachel and being like, are you really growing up for the next 43 minutes? Are you going to be crazy next week?
All right. Well, when she told Finn flowers to get, I really thought she might have known secretly that Quinn was allergic to gardenias or something. I thought she maybe was sabotaging her.
Awesome.
I'm sorry, what were you saying, Ed?
It doesn't make sense how... What, like, obviously we're going to get to this point, but Finn was just so frustrating on so many different levels this episode. And I do feel that in certain ways, Rachel can't completely grow up, but that doesn't mean she isn't having small growth.
Yeah, I agree.
So there you go.
She's definitely having small growth, but you bring up a great point, Ed, that Finn in this episode was insane.
Randy Jackson level frustrating. Let's get real one second.
I didn't understand at all his like explosion with Jesse. Like you can make all the cases you want for that, but Jesse's been gone for a long time, and Finn seems again, it's kind of like this Rachel. Like there were moments, you know, maybe before the break where Finn seemed to be doing some growth, and Finn's kind of my, you know, as I've said on the show, Finn's my character. So I'm like, oh, Finn's growing up. That's awesome. And then in this one, he's picking fights with Jesse for no reason. And he's kind of acting like a total ass. Finn just aggravated me in this one.
Well,
it didn't make any sense
one,
at all.
Okay. If I'm going to be supportive of Finn at all, it's going to be of the fact that maybe he's concerned for Rachel that Jesse St. James will just leave Rachel the way he left her before. So if maybe it's a genuine concern for Rachel, but I feel like that's giving him too much credit. So
yeah, it did seem a little bit extreme. I mean, yeah, of course he, you know, he's never denied the fact that he still cares about Rachel and he wants her to be happy. You know, he's said that repeatedly throughout the season.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I mean,
that is
it's
true.
That aspect
he's just being
isn't
really productive.
Out of, yeah, this that aspect isn't out of the book. But the fact that it kind of bordered on jealousy. I mean, although Jesse not only hurt Rachel, he hurt the Glee Club as a whole.
Yeah.
And Finn was with Rachel at that point. No, he wasn't. Was he with her?
Yes.
I don't know. They're so,
yeah,
they're
I know,
so
right?
off and on, like Ross and Rachel.
Hey, do not take that back.
So when Jesse was messing with her, you know, Rachel hadn't already hurt Finn. So maybe when he thinks back to that time, he still had very strong feelings for her.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
that's a really good, everybody prepare to drink. That's a really good point. Because you're right. It could have just been that the writers didn't sell it enough. Because now that the way you describe it, Finn had every right to be angry that Jesse was there and to not want to forgive him. I mean, one, he hurt the girl that, you know, that Finn cared about
and
says he
love.
Continues to care about. Yeah. And he did hurt the Glee Club. So Finn had every right to be protective, boorish Finn. But the show didn't make a case for that at all.
Yeah, and the whole fight during the, you know, the prom scene, you know, the dancing. But, I mean, it just, you know, it had to happen.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
had to get bounced. Rachel, you know, then had to get blamed. And
But I feel like I don't know. I don't feel like it's Rachel's fault at all. Like, there could be a case made that maybe she should know better than to be with Jesse. But the case is that...
But could you deny those eyelashes?
I don't know, but I know, right? But
it's the grin.
Quinn and Finn are so together, and Quinn has made it very clear that it isn't going to happen for Rachel. So how can you blame a girl for wanting to move on with her life? For
That's
real.
True.
Yeah. Oh, no. And just to reiterate what I said, the whole confrontation between Quinn and Rachel where she slaps her, I'm saying it had to happen. Not that Rachel deserved it, but, you know, that sort of blow up, because it's been building for a while between them. And,
yeah.
you know, although Quinn didn't see it, it did appear very much when Rachel was singing during prom. It, you know, everything was, although it could have been applied to Jesse as well, but she was staring right at Finn.
So. Yeah, but let's go ahead and take a listen to that song, because that's the next one up. This is Jar of Hearts. After all this Jesse talk, we are going to spend the next 10 minutes talking about nothing but boobs, so get excited about that. But I know that what? Look from the wife.
Just so, rolling my eyes.
This is Jar of Hearts, Leah Michelle on Gleeful Podcast.
I'm not your ghost anymore.
A little funny.
You lost the love I love the most.
Just keep it PG.
I learned to live half a life, and now you want me one more time. And who do you think you are, running around leaving scars, collecting your jar of hearts and tearing love apart? You're gonna catch a cold from the ice inside your soul, so don't come back for me. Who do you think you are? I hear you're asking all around.
Typo A just tweeted that this song is the theme song for a serial killer in Criminal Minds. Walking around collecting a jar of hearts. I put a post on the website, on the Gleeful blog
That's
today
awesome.
About the songs in the show, and I at one point had a huge diatribe on this song where I was like, this is so absurd. Like, this jar of hearts, it has like four different cliches in the hook alone. Like, I hope you catch a cold from the ice inside your soul.
That song is so clever. What are you talking
what
about?
Seriously. I hope you catch a cold, a physical manifestation of sickness from the ice inside your soul, which is, you know, a symbolic thing to begin with. There's like three cross metaphors there. No, Jennifer's
I
rolling her eyes at me.
Just what you said, that line is one of my favorite lines.
Oh, like, my God.
It's so clever. It's like, it's just so nice. I mean, maybe it's stupid, but you know what? Stupid things get popular, and I enjoy it. So.
Ed, just make me promise. Promise me that you'll never write a song that says, who do you think you are? Because there's no answer to that question. It's a totally, like, cliched, silly question. Who do you think you are? I'm Josh. Next. I don't know.
Like, who do you think you are? Like, what kind of person are you to go running around destroying all these women and collecting your jar of hearts? I love Christina Perry. Not like I don't love her. I feel like she's a more commercial version of Katie Tunstall. But I appreciate her. I appreciate Katie.
She's definitely more tatted than Katie Tunstall. Ms. Rocksteady says, hey, it's better lyrics than Friday. So, which we'll get to in a bit.
Now I'm wondering, is this song pointed at Jesse or is it pointed at Finn?
I think it's both.
Yes. Yeah, I think you can make yes. Theory. Yeah. Jennifer, you did not you did not weigh in on this topic. What do you think?
I don't need to. Wait, which part?
Well, you did not weigh in on your opinion of Jar of Hearts.
It's a perfectly fine song for the moment.
Yeah, perfectly adequate radio
Anyhow.
Ballad. Okay. You don't have an
she's afraid.
I think it's a really pretty song.
All right. Well, see, that's valid.
I just don't want to, like, this to continue.
You just want to move on.
Yes, I'm trying to keep this moving smoothly.
Well, this did, oh, go ahead, Ed.
I just was going to say, I love you, Josh.
Yeah, I love you too, Ed. That's never a question.
Just because you don't like a song that I like doesn't mean I hate you.
Absolutely.
But if you don't like an idol I like, then I might hate you.
Dude, you're the only person I've ever sent, like, LaRue to, and you said, dude, I've been listening to that for 3 months. I was honored. that I had sent you something that you'd already been listening to. It was awesome. No question. So, you know, one of the reasons Jesse was there is that he was there with the, what was it, the bargain prom club, right?
The prom on a prom on a budget.
And that brings up, you know, a topic we've been kind of hearing rumors and hints about on the internet. And this is listener Stephanie from LA representing.
Hi, you guys. This is listener Stephanie from Los Angeles, California. Represent. I just wanted to say that I loved this episode. I already watched it twice. And I wanted to ask you guys what you guys think of the whole Sam and Mercedes thing they have going on. I think it's so cute, especially when he like did what she wanted at prom. It was just, it's so cute. I just want to know what you guys think about them as a couple. Because it's about time Mercedes gets a love interest. And why not someone that's fabulous like Sam? All right, well, bye guys. I'm a big fan. Bye.
And that is the question. It's about time Mercedes got a love interest. And why not someone fabulous like Sam?
I thought you said abulous.
Oh, abulous. Oh, well, that makes way more sense, doesn't it?
Well, at least that's what I heard from it, and I hope she made up that word because it's awesome.
Well, Jennifer, how do you feel about Abulous Sam and Mercedes?
I think it was really sweet. It's funny. I didn't quite get it as a romantic thing, but I just thought that they were both in the position where they needed something good to happen in their lives, and I think that this was a really sweet way for it to all come together. And
Sam Sadies is amazing.
Sam Sadies. Sam Sadies. There you go.
Yeah, I guess you really can't do it the other way, can you?
Mersam? Mersidam?
Meram?
No, yeah, it's no. Sam Sadies. Sam
Sadies. It wasn't
a likely pairing, but it was a gratifying pairing, considering like the Night of Neglect episode, and even going back to season one roots with the Kurt dating debacle. It was a gratifying end, and Quinn is just too evil, which I love for Sam.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Sam, I mean, he doesn't appear to have a mean calculating bone in his body. So
no, quite the opposite.
On first viewing, I thought, oh, Rachel must have said to Sam, you know, at some point, you need to say this and you need to do this. But it seemed so genuine and heartfelt that I just think that that's his instinct to be a good, caring person like that. Again, I don't know if it's a romantic thing, but I just thought it was, you know, two people who really needed something good and they got it.
Yeah, I mean, you can make all the arguments in the world that they seem like an odd, you know,
well,
connection.
They're both nice people in similar situations. What? That doesn't seem odd to me.
Well, it's, I don't know. I you know, I put my real world glasses on and it strikes me as a slightly odd connection, but it happened so organically in the show that I thought it was fantastic. And so even as it was happening, I'm thinking, this is, you know, in a couple episodes, this might seem a little hard to buy, but in this moment, I'm totally down with it.
Okay, so wait, now are you believing that they're now going to be a couple moving forward?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so. I definitely think, at least for the next two episodes.
I guess the fact that I went to my senior prom with a friend, at least I thought it was a friend. I mean, we were friends, but like there was no romance. No. I mean, like, I entered the evening believing.
Do you want me to Skype him in?
No,
we could ask.
No. What I'm saying is, like, there was no question as to whether or not it was going to be a romantic thing or not. We just went as friends. So I think most of our class did. Wow. So weird. So, yeah. So I just assumed that they were just friends and interesting. Okay.
I definitely think we're going to see some romance. Ed, you're in on the romance with Sam and Mercedes?
Well, maybe not now, but this is the beginning of something beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. They're really sweet together.
Well, and, you know, Mercedes needs some storylines, and frankly, so does Sam.
Seriously.
I mean, if we're just going to leave Tina out to die, I mean, not she's not actually dying. Do not misconstrue my words. I just want to see these characters. I love Sam. I love Mercedes, and we haven't got enough of them. And it's because we've been getting lots of Santini, and that's fine. But that Pisces. Doesn't mean I can't want other things.
Well, and if the show can make me buy Pisces, then I think they can easily make me buy Sam Sadie's.
I'm guilty of the same thing Finn is. I want it all. I want, like, just if wanting every character to have their moment in the spotlight is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Well, we also had a bit of Kevin. We have Artie and
Brittany.
Brittany in this episode. A little continuing drama there. Brittany,
I was like,
didn't want to take
him
back.
How can you reject that? I was like, girl, please.
She was so cute when she was, you know, walking around the room. She's giggling. And
yeah, she seemed like, I got the sense watching that the second time, because the first time I watched that and I'm thinking, Brittany is so sold on this. When he comes in and starts singing Isn't She Lovely, which, by the way, when Mercedes says, isn't this about a little girl? It is.
A baby. Yeah.
A baby. Yeah, it is. But if even... I thought that Brittany was sold, like, moments into that, when it barely first started, and then when she says, hey, it still really hurts me that you call me stupid, so no. And I was kind of shocked. Watching it the second time, I think that it was just Heather Morris.
Who was, like, cracking up.
Yeah. Heather Morris was like, this is awesome. And then when it ended, she went back into character and was like, oh, God, no. Because when all the guys came in on guitars, that was hilarious.
Yeah. And, yeah, I thought it was a really cute scene, and the whole home ec thing, and it's like, is this? It's a baby chicken's house.
Yes, it's a chicken house.
Confuse me.
Totally. Let's go ahead and take a quick listen to that song before we get too far. This is "Isn't She Lovely," performed by Kevin McHale on the Gleeful Podcast.
Lovely. Isn't she wonderful? Isn't she precious? Less than 1 minute. Oh, I never thought through love we'd be making one as lovely as she. But isn't she lovely, made from love? Isn't she pretty? Truly the angel's best. Boy, I'm so happy. We have been heaven blessed. I can't believe what God has done. Through us, he's given life to one. But isn't she lovely, made from love?
We actually only get a minute 39 version of this song on iTunes. It's one of the times where the songs that's performed on the show is the entire version that was recorded. But yes, it's a lovely song.
Is Artie contractually obligated to have a guitar army with him at all times?
That does appear to be it.
I hope so. I was thinking the same thing. I absolutely hope so, because it's perfect.
Eventually, at some point, it's going to get a little ridiculous.
It's okay. He'll start singing one time, and he'll look back, and he's like, wait, where's the guitar player?
After Glee Season 5, during the post-apocalyptic regime takes over, Artie will just stand, and he'll be standing in front of a crowd of millions of guitars, as far as the eye can see.
We'll be wearing his electric legs from Santa Claus.
Oh, God, the electric legs that never came back.
And
what's going to happen?
Coach Beast.
I know. Where is Coach Beast? We've had a couple people asking about that.
When football ended, she disappeared.
Oh, that's right. We talked about
apparently
that.
Apparently, she isn't doing basketball, and Finn isn't doing basketball apparently either.
Yeah, that's true. It.
You know what? Our coaches never went away. They, like, I don't know, then became hall monitor gym teacher.
Coaches can't only be abusive 6 months of the year. They have to do something with the other six. So my coaches would continue to be abusive just randomly in the halls. I mean, they've got to fill the time.
Aw, Josh, were you slushied by a coach or something?
No, I was a cheerleader. True story. So, Type OA asked a question on, she said, do prom date offers really happen like that in the States, or is it just a TV movie thing? That's like a thing on the morning news. This time of year, there's always somebody on the morning news doing some crazy, giant, dramatic prom offer.
Guitar, friends, serenity. Yeah, go on YouTube. You'll see quite a few.
But everybody that I knew and me included, you'd just kind of like be like, prom? Yeah, well, I'm sure. It was like never an event, but, you know, maybe if you're crazy, I don't know. Maybe if that's like a big thing, I don't know.
I asked a guy to my senior prom.
Oh.
He said no.
We should prom memories. Ed, do you have a prom memory?
I did go to prom, and it was pretty lame. But I would have been mad if I didn't go. But just seeing the lameness firsthand was like, yay, okay.
Jennifer?
Like, I don't know.
Oh, Ed.
That's it. End of thought.
No, I mean, the senior prom was a lot of fun. It ended up being a lot of fun, but I did ask a guy. He said no. He was going with somebody else. So then I went with my friend Chris, and we had a blast.
There you go.
We had so much fun. But I did love how when the girls were talking about it, like, you only get one junior prom. You can get married as many times as you want.
Yeah, seriously.
It's so true.
And they will continue to wear white dresses every time they get married.
Yeah, that was bizarre. That was bizarre. I also think that it's funny that this was their junior prom. So all of this, you know, stuff just had
big.
To do with junior prom. It didn't even have to do with senior prom.
It's interesting. Like, we were small school, so we had combined junior-senior proms.
I had combined junior-senior proms, and my school had about 2,600 people.
Oh, my God. We had 172 in my graduating class.
My graduating class, no joke, 666.
Wow. Ooh.
Wow.
No joke. Nicely done.
Yikes. But the thing is, I don't understand is, well, okay, maybe they do separate classes, because that's the only way you would have juniors being voted in as prom king and queen. Because in our school, it was always the seniors.
We had prom king and prom queen, and we had prom princess and prince.
Oh, so we're prince and princess from the junior class?
Junior class, yeah.
Well, that's actually a nice compromise.
So Champs 3216 says, I love how Josh just ignored Jen's sad comment.
I know. Thanks a lot.
But I know you. That's not a sad comment. I know you.
How is that not sad?
Well.
You used touche. To asking girls out and getting rejected. I'm not used to asking guys out and getting rejected.
You are adorable. Damn.
Stop it.
Rules are different. Yes, my prom memory is me and the Scott that I name all my characters after, and two other couples rented a limo, and it was a big thing, and we like limoed our way to prom, like the classic prom, you know. And I was dressed up as Rhett Butler, and my date was dressed up as Scarlett O'Hara.
And yet I got turned down for prom.
Yep. And we went to prom, and then within 10 minutes of prom starting, my date got sick and said, was like, I have to go sit down. And she went into the lobby and she fell asleep, and she slept for the whole dance. And so I just like hung out. It was like,
Did she have too much Boone's Farm?
She did. I don't remember. I think she had a cold or something. I don't remember what her thing was, but she
Boone's
just like
Farm
went
is
to
legit,
sleep. It was crazy.
So
yes. Okay. Look, people on the conversation on the chat.
I'm not online. What is he? What is he
I'm
saying?
Not. Okay. I will take it. I'm insensitive. Let's move on. So I'm a butthead.
Don't worry, people. He'll pay for it later.
Yes. Well, there you go. Gleeky Nikki says she thinks my prom story is sadder than yours. However, I actually had a really good time that night.
How long?
Even though my date
how
slept.
Long was she in the hallway before you noticed she was gone?
Well, I knew she was gone. I walked her there, and then she did the classic like no, don't stay here. Go have fun. And I was kind of like, but I should stay here with you. But no, go. Okay.
I know you better than that. You said okay.
And I remember she woke up just in time for literally the last dance. She came and she's like, I feel better. And I'm like, great. And it was the last dance that we left. It was hilarious. Anyway, yes, I'm going to drop the topic before it gets worse. So we've got...
Was that somebody's advice?
We also had Artie trying to be a bad boy in this episode. And that was kind of wacky. Like, Artie teaming up with Puck before he was trying to fix Puck. And now he's trying to be ruined by Puck.
Well, he had nothing to live for.
Yeah. Nothing at all.
Nothing to live for.
No, you made a good point, or you made an observation during the preview, Jennifer, that you thought Artie was dressed up as Prince.
I did. It was the hair and the ruffles, but then you thought...
He might have been a little more...
Austin Powers.
Austin Powers, yeah. Ed, what did you think about Artie's outfit?
I mean, the color was neither of those, but it just...
Well, hold on. I'm not even recalling what it is, so I'm apparently...
It was a red tux with white ruffles, and he had his hair kind of poofed up on top, like from the Friday number.
A pompadour. Now I see it. It was not something I would wear, but it was fine. He pulled it off.
We do need to talk about outfits, too.
Do we?
Well, it's not prom unless we discuss outfits. And
as it's been said now, you only can have one junior prom.
We, of course, have Go With God, Satan, the red dress.
Seriously.
I love that dress.
That whole scene was awesome. Yes.
And let's see, that's the only one that really stood out to me. Then Britney's dress. Britney had the yellow one that was hilarious.
Nope, that was actually... that was Lauren, and she said, "I feel like a lemon meringue pie." And Brittany said, "You look delicious."
Oh no, but Brittany had was it? I guess it wasn't yellow. It was like the kind of lime green.
Yeah, yeah. Light?
I don't know.
But and she had a teeny tiny hat.
When I was rewatching it, I was really trying to focus on Lauren's ICs on her new dress, but for some reason I never caught it. Did she?
Neither did I.
It was navy. It was actually royal blue, not navy, as suggested. Okay. It was pretty. Hmm. Yeah, it was really pretty. It was similar. It was kind of. Like a jacket over a, high empire waist, ruched.
You know, I've watched so many seasons of Runway, I actually know what you're talking about.
Thank you.
So we had the episode of Breadsticks, because apparently there's only one restaurant in town.
We've already established
everyone
that.
Everyone goes to Breadsticks.
It's $8.99, all you can eat.
We had the breadsticks.
No, right? I would go there. I've been to Olive Garden twice in the past week.
Wow, that's commitment.
It is soup, salad, breadsticks as well.
So everyone went to Breadsticks, and we had I went to a lot of dances in high school. I think I went to like five. But in dances in high school, one time I wore an ascot, and another time I wore a bolo tie. And what were Sam and Jesse wearing?
Jesse wearing
an ascot and a bolo tie, rocking.
Do not look at this as validation for your fashion desires.
No, Sam, I thought Sam was pretty cool. He had the like Western hair going with the bolo tie. It was kind of cool.
He's growing it out.
He's growing it out.
Oh, that's my assumption on the hair.
Well, we did get the big performance of Friday in this episode that's been all on the Twitter for many weeks. So we can't go without taking a quick listen to this one. This is Friday, and I guess we have Mark Salling, Court Overstreet, and Kevin McHale on this.
Okay, well, I want to say, Court Overstreet, please never part your hair like that ever again. Oh my God.
I like that'll look good at the end.
Here's Friday on the Gleeful Podcast. I have a question. I guess this is more of an Ed question, but I'm going to ask it to the group. Do you think that Friday was the producer saying, hey, let's get something that's really current and really bleeding edge and play it on the show? Or do you think it was a really hilarious inside joke to them?
Like inside joke in terms of what?
Well, do you think it was just the producer sitting around thinking this will be hilarious? Wouldn't it be funny if we did Friday?
Like making fun of it?
I think it was just...
Like a legitimate song?
I'm sure they had several songs that they had in mind. And then they just had this, and they're like, it just works.
That's how
I envision things, but maybe I'm too idealistic sometimes.
Fizz, what did you feel about Friday?
I think this is probably played at dances now.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, at least this is a more interesting version than just, you know, the original.
Yeah.
I love Rebecca Black.
Totally feels like High School Musical.
How can you love Rebecca Black, Ed? She's got one song.
I love Rebecca Black for tweeting about a certain someone that I like. So.
Oh, okay. So Rebecca likes Haley.
Officially, I'm easily manipulated. Let's just throw it out there.
Aww.
Well, before we go, I think we have one more ship to talk about. We've got Brittany and Santana in this one, and Santana really kind of encouraging Brittany encouraging Santana to kind of come out in this moment and be herself, I guess is the way she put it. For me, it felt a little forceful. It felt a little, I don't know. I actually had the same struggle the way Brittany talked to Santana in this episode with the way Kurt talked to Karofsky, where they kept saying, like, this is your chance to come out. This is your chance. You should do it now. And whether or not, I mean, I didn't really think that was the best time to come out. But at the same time, I don't know. I guess that's one of those things that you can't, like, another person's got to do on their own time, you know, at least at that age. I mean, they're still kids. So it was an odd situation for me. Jennifer, how did you feel about Brittany and Santana?
Well, I mean, it didn't bother me the same way as it bothered you. I mean, I didn't get the feeling that Brittany was being forceful to Santana to, you know, make her commit to something and make a statement about something. I think she was just trying to reinforce in Santana that, you know, if she was just herself and wasn't hiding something or putting on a front about something, that people would get to see what a lovely person she is, like Brittany sees her.
Mm.
So for me, it was more like, you know, you just need to relax and be yourself and not worry about it. I didn't take it as, like, you have to go out there and make a statement and, you know, tell everybody why you're a bitch. But I did love when, you know, Santana was crying. She's like, why does everybody hate me? I hate everybody, but they don't have to hate me.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny. But I mean, Brittany is growing in a unexpected way. I mean, she was
definitely.
She was very, you know, strong in her convictions with Artie and, you know, with Santana here, she was, you know, very level-headed and supportive, and then, you know, got to the most important thing at hand, which was, you know, and she said, well, listen, we really have to get out there because, you know, Kurt needs us now more than you. Like, Kurt, this is going to be harder on Kurt.
Yeah,
right,
that's
now.
A good point.
And
that
I thought
was
that was,
really
like, such
moment.
An amazing thing for her to say.
Yeah.
It's like, she's a very sensitive, intuitive person, and, you know, it's just nice to see her not just as, you know, one-liners.
Ed, how did you feel about Brittany and Santana in this episode?
I thought it was sweet in some ways. Like, I don't know. I want something to happen farther. I want them to continue with that storyline. And I understand Satan. I mean,
Satan.
I know. Go with God, Satan.
Go with
I mean,
God,
Santana. It was nice the interaction that came from the fallout of the prom queen come king discussion, and it was nice for Brittany to mention that it was like this moment's much harder on her than it is on Santana.
Yeah.
So
I thought that was really very very sweet and
yeah, exactly. That's how it, like
selfless.
I'm glad something happened without anything happening. This is like Lebanese part two. Something happened without nothing actually happening, and that sometimes is more sizable than screaming out loud. So
that's a really good point. Something happening without happening is a really sweet moment between those two characters that are in a very sensitive place. You know, it's a place where things could go good or bad. Well, let's go ahead and everyone stop chatting, so I'm hoping that everything's still working there.
They would be telling us that nothing's happening. They're like, you just randomly stopped the episode.
Yeah, exactly. So we asked everybody what their favorite prom songs were, songs from your prom, songs that played at dances you've been to. And so here's a couple of the favorites that came in on Twitter and Facebook before I asked Jen and Ed.
Great.
And everybody feels really old. Ren Mike had, first he had Heaven by Bryan Adams, and then followed it up with, better yet, Heaven by Warrant. Typo A had Time of Your Life, which is being greatly overused. It was pretty much dead by the time I got to high school, but yeah, it was pretty overused. Let's see here. I really like Sapien Venific. I can't pronounce that one. But she had How Am I Supposed to Live Without You by Michael Bolton, and then followed it up with Owen Saved by the Bell's prom song.
Which was
oh gosh, now I can't remember what it was, but it was sung by Jesse Spano.
Apparently Open Arms, that's what people are throwing out there.
Oh, Open Arms?
Is that, I don't know. I'm just reading. I don't know.
Oh, I'm not getting anything. Are you still getting stuff? Maybe my window is busted.
I'm getting stuff. So.
What? Oh, there it is. Look at that. So yes, let's see. Champs has Teenage Dream, the Darren Criss version, of course. yes, that's right. Open Arms was listener Rachel's suggestion. Last Dance by Donna Summer from Ms. Rocksteady. That's a pretty good one. Let's see. Over here, N.A. Spotted Tiff had By Your Side by Sade, or If It Kills Me by Jason Mraz. Those are very nice.
Yeah,
Heaven is a Place on Earth. That's kind of fun. Ooh, baby. Do you know what that's worth? Ooh, baby.
Ooh, baby.
Is a place on earth. And so, Ed, do you have a favorite prom song?
The one that sticks, there's one that really does stick out to me. First off, being from Indiana, this is going to be like not even a shock. Every single dance they played Kanai Joe, which was, it was a fun song.
But then they played that when I was in high school too.
Good, I feel better. Thank goodness. The song that I remember the most from like the most energy that actually happened in the room was Every Time We Touch by Cascada. So it was a good time. It was a good time.
Listener Nalan PE20 had Forever Young by Alphaville. No, that's one of Jennifer's favorite songs.
Nice.
Gordon over on Facebook had Hot 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 by Buster Poindexter. It's kind of funny. When I was in high school, the songs that got played at every dance, Boys to Men's I'll Make Love to You, which I'm still shocked they were allowed to play. And then by the time I'd graduated, they were no longer allowed to play that song. And I was trying to think of another one. One of them that got played at every freaking dance that I never understood was No Rain by Blind Melon when I was in high school.
That song is so good, though.
I understand that, but that was like, it had no business at a dance. There's no
It's like a good slow dance song, though.
Hmm. No.
You need like a CD or anything else, or a dance. It has to have an emotional high and an emotional low, and No Rain was touching, and it was perfect. It's perfect for slow dancing. Whatever. What do you want them to be playing for slow dance?
Oh gosh, I would like them to be playing for slow dance.
Just can't get enough Black Eyed Peas. Yeah, that's a good suggestion, Josh.
I just want an entire evening of the Black Eyed Peas. You should know me well enough to know.
I know.
That's all I want.
Honestly, I can't get that song out of my head sometimes. Yes. So Will.i.am is unfortunately a genius. It's unfortunate.
Listener Christina had True by Spandau Ballet. That's a classic. Jennifer, do you have a memorable prom song?
Okay. First, I was going to say Open Arms, then I was going to say True.
Oh, some people just keep jumping on them.
But definitely, you know, Journey was very big back then. So, you know, Faithfully was a big one.
Oh, yes.
But, and this actually wasn't really high school, but more college at dances. The big one was Eric Clapton's Wonderful Tonight.
That was actually my prom theme.
God, my prom theme was We Are the World.
Oh, God.
The nuns could not have tried harder to make it any more asexual. Like, oh, they're just like, there's going to be nothing desirous in this entire night. So they had, yeah, we are the world.
The people over in chat are talking about I Swear by All for One, which I think I just barely missed that one. Mm. In Your Eyes, listener David had that one. That was
you
a
know
funny
what song always song gets played? I've heard this song so many times in my life. I'm not upset when it comes on. I don't avoid it. Time of My Life, Green Day. I mean, I don't avoid it, but I don't actively seek it. It's just like, it's nice, but it's there. It's like graduation vitamin C. I don't want to avoid it, but I don't want to run to it either.
You mean vitamin C song Graduation?
That's Graduation Vitamin C. That's what
that
you
was
said.
So that, oh my gosh, I haven't thought about that song in 10 years.
They, wow. It comes on the radio every time around.
That's
this
year.
That's
so funny.
Like, and then I'm like, aw, you know, aw, aw. It's too bad I don't talk to any of you from high school.
And one last one before we move on. Listener Heidi on Facebook had said her prom song was Oh What a Night, which, as we all know, is about a guy losing his virginity to a prostitute. So that is an unfortunate prom song.
Okay. I didn't know that until now.
Well, that's Thanks, about it Killjoy. For us. Do we have anything else? Did we forget anything about the episode?
We kind of glossed over the whole Rachel Quinn thing, but, I mean...
We got to slap her around the world a little bit.
Yeah. My only surprise about that whole situation is how quickly, or how easily, Quinn rebounded from her date getting kicked
that's
out.
That's true.
Not winning prom queen. And, you know, 5 minutes later, she's out on the dance floor. But
and we really didn't get anything from Finn after he was kicked out. Like, he just disappeared and was no
well,
longer
he was kicked
necessary.
Out and ended that yeah. prom, so...
He and Jesse are waiting at breadsticks for the rest of their group. Okay, the only other thing that was completely odd is, were there no other chaperones at this prom?
Yeah, it took forever for somebody to notice.
Sue was... She was the Punch Bowl Patrol. She was the Fighter Patrol. She was the, you know,
There was
torture
the
dentist.
Bully whips were in attendance. So,
oh,
oh yes, people are reminding us when Kurt was talking to Blaine and he said Blaine Warbler, which
yes,
which I thought was hilarious.
And his real last name is Anderson. I had to look it up.
And one last thing, a couple of people are reminding me, we had that scene of Karofsky talking to Kurt and crying outside the classroom. That was odd. That was very odd. I didn't know how to feel about that one. I don't know.
Really?
Jennifer.
Oh, I was really moved by it. I'm surprised you didn't mention it earlier. I thought I was really impressed. It was I felt very sincere and heartfelt. It's kind of like maybe because football is over and he's separated from, you know, the other influences and he's spending more time, even though it's, you know, very self-serving and a bit of a lie with Santana. Mm. I think it was very, I thought it was really very touching and very sincere.
Ed, how about Karofsky's Reckoning?
I was like, we lost him.
Yeah, we lost
no,
him.
No, I just don't know what to say. I mean, it's not. I guess I just don't have an opinion on it. I guess
that's
I'm boring.
Yeah.
That I mean, far from boring.
Yeah, I'm speechless.
Yes, exactly.
And then a lot of people mentioning, and you and I made this comment when we were watching the show yesterday. Brad was everywhere.
Oh,
in this
Brad
episode.
Was awesome.
Brad, hold on. Where was Brad? I didn't see him once. Oh my god, I need to rewatch this.
He was constantly standing in the back of things.
He was the totally Where's Waldo. And the best thing at prom.
I need to see this. So was he a chaperone?
Well, he was. No, he was in the band. Oh, so
yeah.
they couldn't get Air Supply, but they could get this incredible string orchestra.
Yes. I know, right?
Which is fantastic. But no, you'll see Brad in the background, kind of like, you know, very expressive, but he's wearing a black tux with a white bow tie, so he really stands out.
And he would always be behind someone during a fight,
yeah,
or during a kerfuffle.
Or like the whole, you know, the whole prom, you know, coronation part. It was pretty funny.
It was very funny to see as much Brad as we did.
It's totally aware of Where's Waldo, Ed. Just count the times that you see him.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to have to rewatch this. I watched it twice, but apparently... I've been too emotionally distraught.
It's been a rough week for everybody.
Yeah.
It's been a crazy week over here. Ed, do you want to thank any iTunes reviewers before we go?
Of course. Always thanks to the people who are in attendance, the 50 of you. Fantastic to 51
yes.
now.
Wow.
And I would like to especially thank Crest of Waves, who's in the audience. I respect you so much on Twitter. Thank you for being here. For real. For real. The iTunes reviewers, we have Liz Marvin, Christine Mesham, Catherine Lowe, Moran O'Toole, Miners All, Love Shoes 2189, Mike O'Brien. Thank you so much for reviewing us, and it's amazing what the show and this podcast has done for the three of us I'm closer with Josh and Jen more than ever, and I don't know, it's just so wonderful. Everything's just so wonderful right
Aww.
Now.
Things are good.
That's very sweet.
That's really sweet, man. Thank you. And thanks to everybody for listening. It's so much fun to have immediate feedback while we're doing the show.
I mean, it was a bit overwhelming for me last week. That's why I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this with, minimal input. I'll just every now and then look over at Josh's screen and see what people are saying. But it's so much fun and such a blast. And we're just happy people like it.
So a couple people have mentioned here that asking if Brad got a cut of the $400, which then led Typo A to make the observation, Air Supply only charges $400?
That's what I said.
Callan of Hines, that's your shout out.
We should have got them.
We should hire them.
I would have got them for our wedding.
Our friend Ryan, he used to book bands for fraternity parties, and they used to have a running joke. Hey, for $2,000... we can get the Captain and Tennille cover band, and for $1,000 we can get the Captain and Tennille. So kids, look up that reference. Anyway, we are off for the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Ed. I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
Shining down all over the world except when the cyclones strike. I'm Ed. Have a nice night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Shout out, people. Anyone would do, you're in the mood for death.
When you get the chance, you are Jennifer?
This is reminding me. We need more Santana Mercedes duets.
Oh, we've had so many.
But I love this. They sound so good.
Yeah, we've had four times as many Sam's duets. I mean, Sam's.
Sam's. Sam's.
We've had Finn Quinn, which is ridiculous. So, whatever.
Okay,
I love their voices.
Giant, everybody's asking for shout-outs now. So let's see. We've got United Style, Irish Mike, Anderpants, Maria Cole for the win. I don't know if I want to read that one. Paint at Pig Farts. Lime with a Spice. Ms. Rex, Ye David Russ. And there's one that I totally can't pronounce, but it's some kind of... it looks to be a Hawaiian name. And so it's great to have everybody here. And Twinkle Treb, that's it. We're out, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back next week. Oh, and yes, this episode will be called Go With God Satan. Snappy 22.
You people are asking.
Yes. Sammy K 440. I'm just gonna read him now.
People are asking why it's cyclones instead of monsoons now.
That's what I was wondering.
Because during the Night of Neglect episode, Charisse answered a question about cyclones. About deadly
Thank
cyclones.
Thank you.
Oh, you're on it.
And she's the origination of the monsoon quote.
Oh, that I knew. So. Yes.
You go with your...